Hey, thanks for joining me for another episode of Bold and Branded. Today, we're going to dive into a really hot topic. We're going to talk about business entity formation. And while that might sound boring from just the words business entity, I want to assure you that this is something every business owner needs to hear. From LLCs, S-Corp, and corporations, the decision you make and how you structure your business is imperative not only to its growth, but to the protections you are provided. And there can be some financial incentives to structure your business in one of these particular ways. So don't roll your eyes and listen in.
Welcome to Bold and Branded, a podcast where we discuss the exact steps you need to take to leave your 9-to-5 and step out on your own. From taking bold steps to building a brand, we are here to give you actionable tips so you can walk away and build your business, along with a dose of encouragement, because let's face it, entrepreneurship is a bumpy ride. I'm your host, Courtney English, attorney and entrepreneur, and I've worked with hundreds of business owners just like you. I know exactly what it takes to step out on your own and find success while doing it. Welcome to Bold and Branded.
Okay, LLCs. So the first entity we're going to talk about are limited liability companies. LLCs are actually creatures of your state. What do I mean by that? I mean that LLCs are governed by your Secretary of State or Division of Corporations, whichever name your state elects to follow. They are not federal entities. This is really important. People often think, oh, I need to go ahead and get my LLC filed with the IRS, or I'm Googling how to file my LLC in the United States. Nope, stop there. Your LLC, again, it's in your state. The question I often get is, well, we move around a lot, we're a military family, or perhaps your business is completely online. That is totally fine. Your LLC doesn't necessarily have to be where you reside 100% or where all your clients are. How else do you think people can operate in different states? So with that, I'm going to say this. Your LLC should be in your state of home record. If you're in the military, you know that lingo. Or where you reside. It's the easiest way to keep track, and it's generally going to provide you the most protection. Now, the next one I often get asked is S-Corp, and I'm going to pause before I go into this. S-Corps are actually tax elections. They are not business entities. I get this from accountants too. It's a really common confusion point for many business owners, tax professionals, and even, I hate to admit it, but some attorneys. And the reason being is that for a long time, people would just get an EIN and file their taxes as an S-Corp. There would be no LLC or legal entity behind that. So an accountant or a tax person would look at this in a vacuum and say, oh, you're an S-Corp. And for their lingo and their job of playing with numbers, that's all they really need to know. They don't need to know if you're an LLC or not. So that doesn't make it a true business entity. And that can be a bit of a red flag. Now, you should not be able to get S-Corp election without being a business entity first. However, the lingo gets twisted around a lot and it confuses people. So here's what I want to say to this. You can be an LLC and an S-Corp. Typically, S-Corps are LLCs. So while you may hear them referred to interchangeably, in some situations they may be, but not in all. And here's what I mean by that. When you first file your LLC, if you are a single member, LLCs have members, not shareholders. We could also call them equity holders. If you are a single member, meaning you are the only person who owns your business, then when you get your EIN number, you will tax, default tax status will be as a sole proprietor. That means that the IRS sees you as a one-person business and you'll be taxed solely off of your profits. So it's a pretty simple equation. It is, I took all this money in, I paid this money out, what is left, that's what you're taxed on. So for easy math, let's say you made $100K, you spent $50K, you had a $50K net, that you showed on your taxes as profit, you're going to be taxed on that $50K. Again, very simple equation that I am using just for our purposes. That's how it works with a sole proprietor. Now, if you're an LLC that elects to be an S corporation, say you're still a single member, you have to file a form with the IRS. This is not automatic. I am not your accountant, but I have filed these forms because they are legal forms as well. And they don't have any specific numbers to them. They're just looking to see, hey, do you choose to elect an S corporation status? Now, I'm going to tell you S corporation status can be very beneficial to certain business owners. But most of you who just start out, it doesn't make sense. And there's some law changes coming in 2025 about that. So what I will say here is to always check with your accountant before you elect S corporation status for your LLC or your business entity. But keep in mind that an S corp alone does not provide you legal protections. Rather, that S corp is purely a tax election status. You need to know this. Your S corp does not protect your business. Your LLC will, but your S corp will not. Now, what about corporations? Corporations, similar to LLCs, are filed with your state. So that's a little bit of a different process because corporations typically require some more information on the front end. They usually want to know more about the organizers, presidents. It just depends on what your state requires, but it's very important to know that corporations, they have more layers than LLCs. So corporations make sense for some folks because you can get C corp election on your taxes. If you're going to buy and sell, if you need shareholder equity to be issued out, that's where all that fun stuff comes in. Now, where this comes into play the most I see is with people who plan to give out equity. So they want to bring in equity holders. They want to have shares to kind of barter with. That's when we structure as a corporation. That way you actually have shares to do things with. LLCs are not designed to do that. People have done it and it can be done, but it's truly not the vehicle for that. Corporations are really where it's supposed to be. Corporations are meant to be flexible. They are meant to allow equity issuance, vesting, and creative strategies to get people interested or to invest in your business. So bear in mind that if that is the direction you want to take your business, a corporation might be the right place to start. The next question I often get is, can I move from one to the other? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on your state and depends on how you're structured. There are some conversion entity practices, some states that will allow that, and there's some that don't. Now, what I have found with most of my clients, that practice does not make sense for them. It's almost always better to just file a new entity and dissolve the old, especially if you're moving from LLC to a corporation. So bear that in mind that while it may seem, oh, I can just convert this entity, doesn't always make sense for you. And oftentimes the new entity is the best way to do it. And there's easy ways to transfer old things from an LLC to a corporation. So let someone who does that regularly do that for you and advise. Now, down to the practicality, since we've discussed the differences of these entities and how they affect your business and when they make sense, the practicality of how you start them is another missing piece that I get asked as well. An LLC is typically a simple filing with your Secretary of State with your articles of organization. I say simple because most states have made these online wizards that will walk you through it. Not all, but most. Some states use words like franchise tax, and that can trip people up too, but usually that's just the annual fee that's due. So bear that in mind. And some states do require that you register with their comptroller to be taxed on your revenue. So there's a lot of different ways this can look, but generally speaking, to just organize, you're looking for an articles of organization and you file that with your Secretary of State. Now, here's where people get tripped up. So please hear what I'm saying. While articles of organization form your entity with your state and make you a legitimate business on paper, an operating agreement is the paper behind your business that protects you and your business. An operating agreement is absolutely required. I know you might be able to get through the Secretary of State's website with just filing your articles, and they never ask for an operating agreement. So you may think, that's it, I'm done. That is not the case. Your operating agreement, while it's not public and it's typically not on file anywhere, it must be real, it must be signed, and you need to keep a copy of it. Some states have adopted the rule that if your LLC is filed and you cannot produce an operating agreement, your LLC is completely void. We do not want that. And also, if you get sued or you bring on other owners or you borrow money or you need to sue somebody else, or there's even just a dispute that hasn't risen to that level, you need an operating agreement. It will protect you. It needs to be drafted correctly and it needs to be signed. Also, once you file that LLC and you have that operating agreement, then you get your EIN number. Once you have that EIN number, then you go get your business banking account. These are three simple steps that are going to protect you immensely as you grow and scale your business. A word on business bank accounts. Your business bank account should be titled in your business name. It should be where all the money goes in and out of your business. No one should be paying you via Venmo that just sits in a personal account or using some old savings account that you haven't touched in decades. No, this account needs to be titled in that business name. So while we're talking about LLCs in this piece, your LLC name should be on your business bank account, not your name personally. This mistake can be extremely costly. Please do not make it. It's easy to avoid. Now, if we look to corporations and that you decide that is the entity for you, corporations are also typically filed with your Secretary of State or Division of Corporation, depending on the name your state uses for that entity. Corporations are different. They do have more requirements, and there's a level of transparency that most corporations have to have. Reason being, as corporations have shareholders, and shareholders have rights to know things. So while your LLC is your Articles of Organization, corporation is typically called an Articles of Incorporation. Now, I've seen different titles in different states for this, which is interesting to me, but generally speaking, the word incorporation is somewhere in there. This is a key distinction and a little bit of legalese for you, but LLCs are formed and corporations are incorporated. That just sounds a little bit like semantics, but that's actually the language that will be used as you work through your business. So bear that in mind. So once you file your articles of incorporation and you incorporate in your state, it's typically going to ask for some more detailed questions. While the LLC is looking for the member, possibly, or just the organizer, it's usually a quick filing. Corporations want a bit more. So bear that in mind as well. Now, like LLCs have operating agreements that sit behind everything that protect you and your business, corporations have bylaws. Bylaws are usually more robust than an operating agreement, and it talks about a whole host of things and situations that may come up. In addition to bylaws, you need a shareholder agreement. If you have a corporation, the thought is there are shareholders, there has to be, and there needs to be an agreement with those shareholders about what's expected, what their rights are, if you have voting and non-voting, if you have preferred versus non-preferred, A versus B, all those details of how you want your business to look. If you do not have that set up, you run the risk of shareholder laws defaulting to your state where you are incorporated. These are generally not favorable. This is what I tell people. You went into business to do things a specific way. You went into business because you had an idea, a unique angle, or a way that you could approach things that's different than everybody else. Otherwise, you would have just worked for someone else, right? So these documents is a place that you can show that differentiation. It's a place where you can structure your business just a little bit differently. That can be 5%, 10%, or a 180 from what you see out there. But these documents are the place where you can actually take ownership over the structure of your business. So it's really important that one, you get them right, but two, that you take it seriously. Forming a business is not something small. Even if it's just a side hustle or a hobby business, the actual formation piece of it can set you up for so much success down the road, or liability if it's not done right. Now, here's the good news. Setting up a business properly on the front end is so much easier than undoing problems later, and cheaper. So I often tell folks, bite the bullet, get it done right the first time. You'll be so glad you did. Because really, the maintenance on a business formation or business filings in most states is pretty minimal. So while there may be a yearly fee or some additional documents that are due, it's very minimal compared to the risk you run when you're starting a business and not setting the proper groundwork. The final question I get that I'm going to address here is, do LLCs always make sense for me? LLCs have become so attractive because they're such a low hurdle to owning a business. And people often want to know, like, does that always make sense or should I be a corporation? And well, at the top of this, I did address the differences and when they might make sense. I will tell you that for 90% of people, an LLC is probably fine. An LLC lays a great deal of foundation and protections if set up correctly, and you don't need much more than that. Don't overcomplicate it. Now, if you're taking in significant funding, if you're going to go for fundraising rounds, if you're going to do venture capital stuff, yes, corporations probably where you need to start. But for most small businesses, the LLC lays a proper groundwork. Fun fact, Google is even an LLC. So don't get overly complicated and don't get intimidated and think that this needs to be some kind of fancy complex structure. It does not. In fact, most businesses, when you dig into them, there's LLCs layered in there. So don't think that you need something fancier than that. Really, what you need is just a basic business entity that's set up correctly and going to protect you. Again, you might fall into the bucket where you want venture equity or to give out shares, and that's something I highly advise you talk to your attorney about. But if we're getting off the ground, LLCs are typically fine. To my online business owners out there, because I know I have many of you, LLCs are still a good choice for you. Most of you have grown some kind of course or product or service purely served online, and maybe you want to bring in some equity holders, or maybe you want to bring in somebody else who's another brain for you. Well, I'd advise one that you listen to my partnership podcast, but also I would say there might be some ways in your LLC to structure things that make sense for you. Now, again, this is very dependent on your specific business, but my word of caution to you is to think through this and not act hastily. This is something that can be set up within a week's time, as long as you have the proper framework and you've had the right conversations with folks. Now, my challenge for you. Do you know what type of entity you have? And do you know how you are taxed? What that tax election looks like? If you have questions, please feel free to reach out. But otherwise, I hope you enjoyed another episode.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Bold and Branded, hosted by yours truly, Courtney English. Tune in each week for the latest and greatest tips and tricks for your business so you can also live bold and, of course, protect your brand.